podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors.
I still can't believe Progressive Cowboy didn't win. I just don't understand it.
And the famous Alec Medford asking the questions that matter. Like, how the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in radio land, except for Peyton? Let us know, 877-881-1053, Franklin, injury attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
PP in the morning was actually, or the payload, what is it again? It was good this morning. I enjoyed it. I was driving my kid
to... Until he changes the name to WrestleMania. I'm out.
I was taking my kid to football practice this morning, and I was listening, and he got the fan text all riled up this morning. Couple things.
They should have canceled football practice.
Okay, so you got a good point, dude. Last night, Carter and we went to Southlake. By the way, I forgot to tell Choppy. A Southlake parent walked up and said, Tolos, tell Choppy I said hello. So I need to remind Choppy of that. He's probably listening in the car.
Sure.
But yeah, so we were playing at Southlake, and we got 7 minutes into this game, dude. Seven minutes into this game, and they were like, Lightning, gotta cancel. I was like, what? So Carter, my son, almost had a safety for a sack.
Oh.
A sack for a safety, and then almost had another one. And then he was furious that they called the game. He said,
Why
did they drive us all the way out here just for it to rain? And I was like, you can't control the weather.
That's a good ass.
No matter what the conservatives say.
Oh, what?
Or the liberals. They both say things, Kevin. All right. Both of them say everything.
Oh, what are you going to say next? Somebody said we should nuke a hurricane.
Did somebody say that?
I called that one.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
That was a long time.
The both sides say all the things. So they're just trying to get you all riled up.
There are bad people on both sides.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, you can't control the weather, son.
Yet.
And I said, control the things you can control. And he was like, okay. And then he pouted the whole way home. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then finally, something happened and he livened back up. So here we are with a new day today, Kevin. And a word.
Ooh, okay. We're going to get to the word in just 1 second. But I remember I was at a high school baseball playoff game that got stopped for rain and lightning. And everyone tried to crowd into the press box. And it was one of those stadiums where all of the bleachers were metal and the entirety of the press box was metal. And there's all those electronics up there, too. And I was like, I don't know if this is the best idea.
You got to be grounded, though, right? Something's
got
to be grounded.
I hope so.
The metal bleachers are on the ground. Therefore, it's grounded. Isn't that how it works out?
I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
How does grounding work?
That's a good. I mean, I'm sure we have lots of physicists and electricians who listen.
Yeah, if you're. Oh yeah. Oh, you're right. If you're a physicist,
we're huge in the
physics department.
I was gonna say in the service industry as well, but
okay.
The physics department's fine.
Yeah, if you're in one of them, let us know. Because here's what they told me, Kevin, a long time ago. I was getting one of those satellite dishes or something. And they were like, hey, this is the one spot we can put this dish that it's going to shoot through those trees to the satellite. However, we have to ground that thing and we're going to need to drive a copper stake into the ground and then run a thing up. So that means it's just grounded. So there you go. If it's touching the ground, it's grounded.
Yeah. And there was a time with that satellite dish where either it felt like you're perfect, we can't do it, or we can if we put 16 miles of cable throughout your house and your walls, and we'll need to make holes here, here, and here.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like,
so many
wow,
holes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, everything's good. This person says, nope, start it over. I need to know a man from Corey.
Oh man!
We got that going. Somebody said, as a Rangers fan, Kevin, not doing too great today. Somebody also said, six foot rod. Driven into the ground. So there you go.
Okay.
Got to drive.
All right. Doing great from the 214. Thanks for asking, Kevin. Take a load off. Absolutely. I will work on that. And then I don't know from the 469. You just took over Kevin's story. He was going to tell. He's pissed. I'm not.
I'm sorry. What?
I don't know.
I had.
Oh, is it about the press box? That's fine.
Okay, what happened in the press box?
I already told you that story. No, we're all fine. Yeah, and I was in it.
But you were concerned.
Exactly.
And there was a wasp outside?
No, that was a different press box.
Dude, Kevin.
Just like that one time I was in the press box at the softball game. I'm not going to say which school, just in case, but the pitcher, she was a really good hitter as well, but she was a heftier gal, and her dad ran the PA, and so there's another press guy sitting next to me.
His name is Sad Guy.
That is true.
That's what we called him.
That is true. He's so nice.
He's still with us?
He's so sad. He is.
All right.
And he didn't know that, and she legged out a single, and he goes, man, for a big gal, that chick can really move. And I
was sitting right next to you.
Had to just cover up my mouth, and I was like,
I don't know why both of us were at the game either. I think it was
maybe all our other teams were out.
Yeah, I think they were against each other.
But yeah, so we called him Sad Guy too, Alec, because he was so nice, but like he would just say the most depressing things out of nowhere.
I got a new bicycle today. But as soon as I got onto it, the tires went flat, and then my mom died. And you're like, what? Just how do you go from that to that, dude? I used to roller skate, but then, you know, I went over the edge at a cliff one day and broke all my legs.
I was at a game once, and I took a phone call because Brandon was younger, and he was sick, and he was like, oh, everything okay? And I was like, yeah, and I just explained to him, and he goes, oh, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad he's going to be okay. And he goes, you know, I never had kids.
Oh, my gosh!
And he goes, never even got particularly close. And I was like, well, what does that mean?
Wow.
Because you can make a few different arguments on that front.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That was Sad Guy.
My point is, Sad Guy has been manifested via the Texas Rangers.
Yep.
Because that is just what they have been doing. Go ahead and, you know what, let's do cut number two. I could pick a few of them, but go ahead and give me cut number two.
3-2. Swinging, Doyle unloads on one, a deep left center. Langford chasing after it at the wall, and that one's out of here.
That's what felt like all night.
Play the beginning one more time and tell me how many milliseconds into this call you can tell that it's going bad for the Rangers.
3-2. Swinging, Doyle unloads on one, a deep left center. Langford chasing after it at the wall, and that one's out of here.
Immediately.
It's the Langford, you can hear it in the moment that he says Langford chasing after it.
Yeah.
He almost gets depressed in the middle of it and then realizes he can't do that on radio.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do that this early. But like, you can play, if you can't isolate that part Langford, hold on, is there something happening?
No.
Can you play it again?
3-2. Swinging, Doyle unloads on one, a deep left center. Langford chasing after it at the wall, and that one's out of here.
Chasing after it. Actually, it might be the unloads part. The unloads part may have been the moment, too. But yeah, Kevin, things went bad last night.
Yeah,
very bad.
It really, really did.
I blame you.
Why? What did I do?
The other day, somebody texted in, and they were like, look at the schedule. Look at how brutal this schedule is.
And it's not.
You got to play the White Sox.
Who aren't very good.
And the Brewers.
They are very good.
And the Mariners.
They suck. But they might still win this division.
And Kevin said, that doesn't matter. It's the Rangers we're talking about here, guys.
Untrue.
And since you said that, we're now 1-2.
What I said was the White Sox aren't very good. And guess what? The White Sox aren't very good. They're fine, but they're not very good. Well, the Rangers just lost a series to them, which means...
Season's over.
No, the season's over.
What did you want me to say?
It means the Rangers. Yeah, it means the Rangers aren't very good.
Yeah, that was a tough one last night. I loved the Jock Peterson home run. It was gorgeous. That was an amazing, and I was like, okay, we can do this. And it just continued to fall apart after that, Kevin.
Yeah, and I like honestly at this point, I don't really know if anybody wants to win this division. At 5-5 over their last 10, including on a current 2-game losing streak, the Rangers have still picked up 2 games on the division-leading Astros in that run. because they're 3-7. And they also have a losing record. And right now, the AL West is on pace to represent the worst playoff team, let alone worst division winner, in the history of baseball. So that's the good news. Nobody seems to want to win this division. Here's the bad news. What the hell are the Rangers doing on the bases? So let's go to, well, there's lots of places to choose from. I guess we'll go ahead and go to the first inning. You get two walks. Both players are out on the base paths. One via pickoff, one via stealing. So that's not good. All right. Well, at least that's as bad as it got.
When it comes to the stealing part, and we asked Skip about the Jake Berger triple leg out the other day, and he's like, I want guys to be aggressive. Like that, he wants them to be aggressive. That's going to come with it. Getting picked off, though, cannot happen.
Yeah, it was embarrassing, but that was kind of a theme at key points in the game last night. The Rangers, in 1-4 inning span, had at least two at bats with runners in scoring position for four straight innings. They did not advance a single runner, not even not score, not advance. They had four strikeouts, three pop-ups, and a fly ball. And that all leads to this by the end of the game.
Gross.
Why? Yes. Why did you lose this game? And realistically, why did you lose the series? Last night, the White Sox, they were spectacular with runners in scoring positions. 7-11. The Rangers, 2-14.
Which, this has been their season.
For sure.
Getting runners on and just saying we can't capitalize for whatever reason, whether it's, hey, I don't know how to get the runner over. That was something Boach talked about last year, too. There's so many different ways to get a runner over.
Yes.
Rather than just hitting a home run or bunting. Why don't we do that? Why are we not more effective in situational baseball? And I don't know if it's because they aren't an intelligent enough team or they're not capable enough at the plate. Or baseball is just really hard for some people.
I think I'm inclined to go with the second one. They're just not good at the plate, but I would certainly listen to any other thoughts about what else it could be, because now it's, you can't just say they've had a rough run against the division on the road. This is now six straight road series losses for the Rangers. And I want to go back to a whole nother other thing about how they're not converting, because that has been the maddening thing about this team. Not all games, but a lot of games. They will get the runners on base.
Mm-hmm.
They will have their shot and just not carry through on it. I know Skip said a couple of times, you know, you have to at least get the chances. And he's right. You do have to at least get the chances. But if you don't do anything with it, what the hell is the difference? So Jared had this stat. The starter for the White Sox, Sean Burke, he got up to the point where he'd walked seven batters. The last pitcher to walk seven batters against the Rangers was Yu Darvish in 2019 with the Cubs. So it had been 7 years since you'd seen that. That seventh batter that he walked was to lead off the fourth inning. And guess what? Then he walked another person. And so that was eight walks and two straight to lead off the fourth inning. How many runs did the Rangers score in that inning? Zero. Sean Burke ended up pitching three innings and giving up eight walks. He gave up two runs.
Yeah, you have to capitalize more.
That's
in those
embarrassing.
Moments, for sure, yeah. No, it absolutely is. And then when you know you're not getting the best start out of Mackenzie Gore, you know, it just compounds it all together.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gore gave up four straight hits to start the second inning.
But I think I flipped over. I'd been doing some stuff, and I flipped over and just was watching that happen, and I was like, oh, my gosh. How is Mackenzie Gore already struggling this much again? And after it felt like he had kind of found his place a little bit, and then they're like, what are we doing here, dude? I felt like he was going to go on a bit of a tear, Kevin.
Yeah.
I did, and then you have a night like that.
From the 817, I don't remember this, but I will take your word for it. To begin the year, if anyone said this would be the worst division in history of baseball, that would have been a hot take, huh? Sorry, I thought they did say that. Yeah, it would have. But here we are. Look, the worst record in the 162-game run for a playoff team was 82-80. You, right now, if you finish 500, I think you win this division.
I think, Kevin, before the season, we were asking the people around that we knew, is this a winnable division?
Right.
Knowing what the Rangers were.
Sure.
I honestly can't tell you I thought or knew they were going to be this, what I feel, poor at the plate
right.
again. But knowing what they were, we were like, is it a winnable division? And everybody said yes.
Yeah.
Because the division just was, like, the Mariners were a wild card. You were kind of like a question mark on what they, would they do what they did again? And you kept saying no.
Man,
because they're
the
Mariners and they're stupid.
Yeah.
And then we were like, but the Astros, like, they should be down. Like, this is still a winnable division. It's so weird
yeah.
how what we thought that at the beginning of the season is almost exactly what it is, even though the Rangers haven't been good.
Yeah, if you told me the division's, like, not going to be that great, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. If you said it's going to be the worst division.
Historically bad.
Yeah, in the history of baseball, I'd be like, oh, all right, well, let's calm down just a little
bit.
Yeah. Guess what? Here we are. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
One series win, and we're back in it, dude.
You know what?
That would be a unique position for us.
That would be unique because the secret word of the day is unique for the KNC masterpiece. I guess I should say for our show. The word is unique. We will do that giveaway.
That's the word.
In the 1 p.m. hour. The word is unique. Coming up next, some Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day right here on The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones underneath, off the hands, and Jalen Thompson has the interception. And Daniel Jones chases him out of bounds.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for some Dallas Cowboys news, questions, and apparently tweets of the day. I take you to the Corey Majors tweet desk for more.
Man,
I was
going
to say deck. I got nervous.
We saw it starting yesterday, I believe, when everybody was going at Dawson here. And then we talked a little bit with him yesterday during crosstalk about it. And then this morning, he hopped on Sean and RJ's show to have even more discussion about Caleb Downs. And that being said, there are a lot of smart and intelligent things he says
sure.
about this that could be realistic.
I agree. But then I feel like some of the tweets include more inflammatory language.
You know, it's how you make that face that irritates people?
That's just my face, yeah. This is the story of my life. If I could tell you, like when Bobby thought I rolled my eyes, if I could tell you how many times my voice and inflection or face have gotten me in trouble, a lot.
So Gavin Dawson is, I don't know, is it tripling down at this point?
I think so. And well, let's see. It depends on what he says.
You're not going to like it, y'all. Gavin Dawson said he was billed as a nickel who could cover in the slot and tackle as a linebacker. Want to be scouts? I whooped you in year one. Cope harder.
Damn.
Damn, dude. You know what? Here's the other thing.
So we're not really looking for common ground, right?
Nah, he doesn't sound like he is. He's just like, look, and I know if he feels like he's wrong, that dude is more than happy to eat crow. He absolutely is.
Yeah.
Then he'll also tell you why you're wrong about him having to eat crow. I've listened to Gavin Dawson from before I got to this station, and I've always been entertained. But, Kevin, remember when we were in Arizona and we were in the truck going to dinner? I think we were going to, was it Malnati's?
Oh, yeah.
And
fake Lou Malnati.
we were discussing, Alec, if I was not on radio or in a public, forum, I would not be on social media. I would go off the grid. I don't need that. Give me a cabin by a river, and I'm
sounds
fine.
Nice.
You know, and I think you were saying, I don't know. Like everybody's kind of discussing it, and Dawson goes, "Man, I wouldn't. I'd absolutely stay on it. It's too entertaining." He loves that stuff. So,
he does.
But I think he again, there are some logical things that people fear about this. mine is not what Caleb Downs is going to be. Mine is he's going to be a play wrecker, and he's going to be a play wrecker in the middle of the field where most of things happen. Also, you built a better team around him. I don't think you're going to.
Sure.
So, Jalen Thompson, better safety than you've had. You have, I think your cornerback play is going to be pretty good. I think your defense up front is better than you have talent at spots around this defense that you need. You can't just rely on the one dude. But what he's going to do is he's going to be the great communicator in that middle, and he's going to provide really. I don't think there's going to be a moment where they go, "We're picking on Caleb Downs today."
Right.
And he feels that's based on what I see him tweeting. He thinks that they're going to go, "Well, that's the weak link on this team. Attack him."
Yeah, and look, it just depends, too, on what you think the expectation level was. Like, somebody just said,
good point.
I don't think he's going to be a perennial All-Pro or Hall of Famer, which is fair. That is a ridiculously high expectation to put on somebody, but I think a lot of Cowboys fans already have that. I think he'll be a very good player. I don't think he'll ever be a top three safety in the league, and I am not kidding about this. Don't you think right now there is a section of Cowboys fans, maybe a big section of Cowboys fans, that if he's not consistently a top three safety in the league, they will view him as a failure?
Yes.
I'm not saying that is fair at all.
Yeah, no, and quite honestly, the way that people have talked about Chris Long is like, hey, or Jake Long, one of the Long boys. He is the only person out of this draft class that's a Ring of Honor guy. And he's not talking about the Cowboys draft class. He's talking about the entire draft class that he would put in that Ring of Honor type situation. People were already saying before he was drafted, put a yellow jacket on this guy. Go ahead and do it now. So, yeah, I do see that there's going to be a contingent of people that are like, you sold me this. And he is not quite that. So I still feel like he's going to be a fantastic player.
Right.
But you're right. There are going to be people that are like, where are the 15 all pros?
Well, let's talk about another safety, pseudo safety / sometimes slot corner. Jalen Thompson had two pass breakups in the span of three plays yesterday in the final practice, one against Jake Ferguson, the other one against CeeDee Lamb. And I always think it feels like a positive thing if you can get a pass breakup against CeeDee Lamb. Per Joseph Hoyt, Jayshon Barham probably would have had multiple sacks on pressures last night. Last night, last practice of the star, last official practice in what you consider the training camp window, though we'll see more leading into the regular season.
Can I go back to Thompson real quick?
For sure.
Alec, how proud are you right now?
Very.
Okay, I just wanted to give Alec that opportunity to shine. That is friend of the family, Jalen Thompson.
Fact.
That's right.
But he's turning out to be... You know, this is very early, but I think you're starting to see what he's going to be capable of in this defense. We talked about what we saw, talked about what we feel like Christian Parker's idea is and the marriage that's going to happen there. It looks really good. The Barham news just continues to get me more and more excited.
It comes along with a question. Jayshon Barham will start games. Do you think Jayshon Barham will start games at middle linebacker for the Cowboys this season?
If he's the better player, yes.
What do you is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why you would not put the best player on the field. I think he's becoming that. I think you're still going to deal with rookie moments.
Oh, absolutely.
But this dude seems to have the desire to want to be great. He said that. So I think that at some point you're going to be like, well, we've envisioned this. It's come to fruition. We got to get him on the field as often as we can. I mean, the fact that he was getting first team reps last night shows you how they feel about him. Him and Revel both getting first team reps last night shows you what they do feel about this guy.
Now, I thought the final play of training camp was really interesting. So Joe Milton steps up, escapes out of pressure to the left, finds Anthony Smith for a touchdown. The reason why I think this is really interesting is because These are guys who I think have gone in different directions per expectations via training camp. Because once Sam Howell got here, it felt like, all right, he's the favorite to take the backup spot. But right now, it sure does feel like Joe Milton is the favorite for the backup spot.
Was it Will McClay that said we brought in competition and it pissed him off?
Yeah.
And
it's worked out well.
Yeah, smart idea.
And then you have Anthony Smith, who I'm not saying he had a bad camp, but he was everyone's darling, him and Trigg, at the beginning of training camp. And then Camden Brown took off, and then Jonathan Mingo reemerged. And now I don't see any way that Anthony Smith makes this beginning roster.
Was he everybody's darling or mine?
I think he was a lot of people.
Oh, he was?
There was a lot of people.
I thought I was taking credit for that. Okay. No, I really did. I thought I was kind of alone on that.
No, there was...
Damn it.
Him and Trigg, a lot of people gravitated towards.
Okay, well, when it came... Yeah, Anthony Smith didn't do what I expected of him, and that was to really show out, and maybe he's not prepared for this moment. Cam Brown definitely looked like he was prepared for this. And I like it.
Now, speaking of Cam Brown, I don't know if you care whatsoever, but I'm going to tell you. You know, he's second in the preseason in receiving yards, behind only Jalen Brooks for Arizona. Do you care even 1% that he leads the preseason in yards receiving, if that were to come to fruition?
I do.
Ooh, great. That will make my next stat more relevant.
Because that means he should make the team, and he actually showed up whenever called upon.
Okay. To go along with that, Joe Milton leads the league in preseason stats with 3 passing touchdowns and a 142.9 passer rating. Same logic?
Same logic in that he should make the team, yes.
Right.
For Joe Milton, though, I think more importantly it was what you saw from the play, not just the numbers.
The touch on some of the passes... I do think has been...
The touch, the reads.
Yeah.
The playing quarterback rather than playing a dude who can run around and an athlete back there. He played quarterback. Alec, I want to look a little more into what he did this offseason because I got a little hint on something, on some people he may have been working with. I'm interested in talking to them. But yeah, I think that he did some work this offseason. Maybe it was because he was ticked off. But Kevin, I think more than the numbers... Watching the guy play absolutely told you it's a different dude this year. More comfortable for sure.
Now I've got a question for both of y'all. On the roster right now, how many Dallas Cowboys have made at least one Pro Bowl? Doesn't have to be with the Cowboys. How many former Pro Bowlers, in honor of that thing being put down, are on the Cowboys roster?
6.
Alec?
Oh, I think it might be a little bit more. Give me 9.
12.
It's even higher than that. It is 13.
48. Oh.
That would be amazing.
That would be pretty cool. That's a stacked roster.
I do feel like that's all the Cowboys would tell us. Like, we got nothing but Pro Bowlers.
Yeah. So, and you're like, but hold on, this is a 53-man roster. And they're like, all right, so we're a few short.
Yeah. We'll go Phillip Rivers. Come on down. So it's George Pickens, Rashawn, and this will be important to listen to the list. George Pickens, Rashawn Gary, Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson, Brian Anger, Kevontae Turpin, Tyler Smith, Kenny Clark, Brandon Aubrey, Quinnen Williams, Dak, CD, and Von Miller.
Steve DeBerg.
Not Steve DeBerg. Who do you think is the most likely first-time Pro Bowler on the roster right now?
As the Pro Bowl sits... with the new, they're just going to name.
They'll still be honored. They will still be honored, yeah, they said.
But what's good, so it's 88, right? And they won't have replacements. I think that's been
exactly
a factor, Kevin,
yes,
so many times where you're like, Jalen Smith?
Yeah, well, think about it. The last Pro Bowl quarterback ever is Shedeur Sanders. So, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. This is...
Because I wonder, do you think Overshown, Downs, Barham? Okay. Alec, is that your... I mean, that was an excellent time to play that, but is that your vote?
I think so. If we're going first-timers, I think the hype alone... That's the good thing about the hype, right? You're going to get a lot of attention. If he even plays decent in his first year, he's going to be a Pro Bowler.
I'm going to give it to the friend of the family.
Jalen Thompson.
I like that answer.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that answer quite a bit.
Yeah, I can't believe you hated on him so hard that you like you wouldn't even bring his name up.
I started this campaign.
It's a fair point. That is a very fair point. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb.
That's a very unique idea.
Indeed. And go with DeMarvion Overshown.
What? He's getting replaced. You said it earlier. You were like, when you asked the question. You asked the question because you believe it.
I think they're going to find a way to work those two in cooperation.
That's why you ask NFL overreaction.
It's going to be amazing. Hey, those are not always my opinion-based questions.
Dude,
sometimes they definitely are.
I am fascinated at the trio of linebackers they have there. Because, Kevin, there might be some opportunities also to get all three of those dudes on the field at the same time.
So, with that in mind, I like the fact that you have pushed both the player and the concept of D. Winters to go harder. Because when you made the trade for D. Winters, you were like, well, that kind of sucks that you're in a position where San Francisco's like, we didn't even need that guy, and you desperately need him, and hopefully now you'll be in a position where you're like, hey, man, you get a fight for playing time. You really, really do. And I think that is an absolute positive for this roster. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The word of the day is unique. What will happen? Continue to listen or spread the word. Make sure everyone continues to listen. And in the 1 o'clock hour, you will get your opportunity to call in to win that Dr. Pepper prize pack and be one of the six finalists for the Fantasy Football Extravaganza.
I have a little breaking show news, Kevin.
Oh.
Just got a text. And it looks like the negotiations have come through. This year, during football season, Babe Laufenberg will be joining the KNC Masterpiece.
Oh, yes!
He's got to figure out the time on Fridays.
And we're going to tell him he needs to watch his language.
Yeah.
I saw that tweet. Yeah. That tweet was spectacular.
Yes, it was.
And that guy
salute, sir.
Said that was an idiot. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some baseball nuggets, a new MVP favorite, and Schwarber hits a momentous mark. Next on
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
2-2. Swing and a fly ball out toward right field. Going back is Ward. Back to the wall. The first to 40. Kyle Schwarber, a three-run home run. And the Phillies have busted this baby open here in the second inning. It is 6-0 Phils.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's fire up some baseball nuggets. And we will start with one Kyle Schwarber, who reached 40 home runs. He has four 40 home run seasons, which is tied with Ryan Howard for the most in franchise history. Howard accomplished the feat in four straight seasons from 06 to 09. Also, Kyle Schwarber, I believe, is one of only three active players who have four 40 home run seasons.
Okay. Holy smokes!
See, he knows. With the other ones being Shohei and Aaron Judge.
What about Mark McGwire?
He is not an active player.
You're saying he's not active anymore?
I don't know. He's not an active Major League Baseball player. I will.
All right.
I will revise.
Fair enough, Kevin.
For that. Now, let's go from that to the Cincinnati Reds. They trailed last night 9-3 going into the ninth inning, at which point they sent 11 men to the plate, scored seven runs, and they were victorious 10-9. It was the Reds' third ever victory when trailing by six or more runs going into the ninth inning, their first since 1958. Against the Cubs, and they also did so in 1918 against St. Louis. So, big-time win for the Reds right there. Let's go to the best players by age in Major League Baseball. So, MLB.com did a really interesting study of the best player at each age, going from Connor Griffin being the best player at 20 all the way to Justin Verlander being the best player at 43.
Are there any other 43-year-olds?
It does not say any others, but I will tell you this.
Sometimes being the only one is a big deal.
They had no votes for 40 or 42.
Oh.
They were like, nobody.
Nobody.
Exists that is either that age or good at baseball.
Interesting.
So for the age of 38, Jacob DeGrom wins for the Texas Rangers. The runners-up were Paul Goldschmidt and Aroldis Chapman. No other Ranger is named on this list or even selected as an honorable mention.
What did Aroldis Chapman just do? He just got another save season of a certain number, his 10th. And there's only like four dudes that have done that are in that category that have had 10 seasons of as many saves as he's had.
Is it
30 saves. And only four guys have ever done that. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Sure.
Would you say?
Yes.
Chapman or DeGrom?
I think.
Yeah, I know that that Chapman has some off-field stuff that's followed him, but that dude has been on championship teams, dude.
Yeah, and he's having a good season. So I think at this particular point in time, I would go Chapman, but earlier in the season, I would have gone DeGrom, but right now, that's where
and
we are.
And for most of the careers, he's one of the most dynamic dudes, but then you look at Chapman, you're like, look at how dynamic that guy is.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's really weird because it looked like he was like kind of done. If you look at
Chapman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you look going back to 2022, it looked like he was kind of done. Then he picked it back up with the Royals, obviously. Then he came to the Rangers. And even then, I did not think he was that great for the Rangers. But then you'd get the final result, and you're like, I guess we more or less got what we needed. But it was, it was the Aroldis Chapman experience.
Yeah.
So
it was a roller coaster, and you'd get out of that inning and be like, how? And then you won a World Series, Kevin.
Indeed you did. And he was a part of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I noticed that Wyatt Langford was not even an honorable mention on this.
Because of his arm?
I mean, that might be. And his bat speed. There's a few different reasons. But also, this is probably a question for another day. Do you think you'll get to a point with Wyatt Langford that you're like, I'm really glad that his agent didn't accept our buyout contract proposals to extend.
I hope not. But you have to wonder, right? You have to be realistic. Chris Young has to be realistic. Ross Fenstermaker has to be realistic. We have to be hopeful a lot of times and then just be like, ugh, whenever we're disappointed.
Right.
But most of the time, fans are going to be hopeful about a player.
Sure.
But you don't want a GM or a president of baseball operations to be like, we still hope it happens, and we're paying him based on the hope.
Well, the best player at 24 is Pete Crow Armstrong, with runners-up Jacob Mizorowski, Paul Skeens, and Ellie De La Cruz. Makes sense. Going to win the MVP, about to win the Cy Young, won the last Cy Young. So that's a pretty heavy class right there. So I realize that Wyatt Langford is very young, but just look at the achievements, or about-to-be achievements, of players that are that young. Let's go!
There's a dude that could finish second in MVP voting.
No, he is going to win. Nope. Because Pete Crow Armstrong has taken control and is now the leader for MVP. He's the leader in the betting odds. He's the leader in common sense. And he's also the leader from MLB.com because they have their own internal MVP votes. Shohei Ohtani, he got 8 first place votes. Pete Crow Armstrong got 29. So at least for now, common sense is taken back over, and Pete Crow Armstrong is the favorite. But then again, Shohei Ohtani has started throwing. So if he comes out there, has like 3 to 4 really dazzling starts in September, we'll be like, sorry, Pete, defense doesn't matter. You lose.
Yeah, maybe a couple no-hitters.
I mean, if he gets a no-hitter, I think he's going to win. I really do.
You turn on Pete Crow Armstrong that quick?
I didn't say should. I said, I think he will win.
He goes out. Yeah, you're right. He goes out there and throws a couple, like 3 or 4 games where he strikes out 10. And they're just like, dadgum, dude. What is this? This guy is just insane.
Yeah, he really is. To me, Pete Crow Armstrong is absolutely the NL MVP. But it's close enough where the last month could make a difference. Now, let's go back to the Dodgers. Roky Sasaki, he exited the game for the Dodgers, which eventually ended in a 6-5 walk-off loss to the Braves with a blister on his middle finger. So once again, I mean, there's no doubt The Dodgers have an overall outstanding record. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to get the opportunity to defend their title. But I don't know if I just look at them as the de facto dominant favorite. They're the favorite for sure to win the World Series. Or
because of the talent?
Yeah, and the injuries and the slumps from people like Tucker. But then again, we might get to the postseason and you're like, they just didn't care.
That's what I mean. Like, they're the favorites because of the talent.
Yeah.
Like, the roster is full.
For sure.
It's got 48 Pro Bowlers on it.
I mean, more or less. Yeah. But, and they're like real active Pro Bowlers.
And that was a joke from earlier for anybody who's like, baseball doesn't have Pro Bowls, jackass. Stop trying to be a hot take artist.
That would be so rude.
Yeah, no, it was a joke from earlier when we were saying that. Yeah, no, their talent level is high. But we've seen plenty of teams with that much talent not do it.
Absolutely.
And then plenty of teams with that much talent go, oh, yeah, it's time for the lights to shine.
Yes. Now, keep an eye out on this. He's going to pitch today. But Jacob Mizorowski is on the cusp of doing something we have never seen in the history of baseball. The highest strikeout per nine rate with a sub-2 ERA. Jacob DeGrom did it back in 2018. So did Blake Snell. Pedro Martinez did it twice. The best season was in 2000 when Pedro Martinez had a sub-2 ERA and 11.8 strikeouts per nine. Jacob Mizorowski right now has a 1.68 ERA and he is averaging 13.4 strikeouts per nine.
I don't understand how, like,
it is remarkable.
Insanely good this dude is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, let me put that one more in perspective for you, because you're right. Sub-2 ERA with the best strikeout to walk ratio in a season. Right now, Mizorowski's fourth on that list in the live ball era. Here are the other four pitchers on that list. Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Greg Maddux, and Pedro Martinez.
All-timers.
Yes, and I believe all of them have at least three Cy Youngs.
I think Greg Maddux?
Yes, Greg Maddux is second because he never walked anybody.
Right, because the strike zone was bigger for
him. Shut your mouth. I will never concede that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.